Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
And here we are on this Wednesday, April the 22nd, 2020, 4:22, 2020, 19 minutes past the hour, and we're rolling right along here on the Now program. Do want to remind you, I will be filling in for Charlie Evers next hour, the next 2 hours, from 10 until 12, so stay tuned for that. Today at 12, we have A Progressive Life with Glenn Coble, 12:10 to 1 p.m., and then we have Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redmond today, 4:10 to 5, and the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday Sermon will air today, 6:10 to 7, right here on WWGH Radio. Now, with everything going on in the world, we are joined by a guest that we have not had on this particular program in quite a while, but you hear his voice most every Monday morning on Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam Lepp on this station from 10:10 a.m. until 11 a.m. He is the Progressive Professor. He's an author. He's a professor. And he's always a fun guest to have on this program, Dr. Ronald Fineman. Dr. Fineman, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Scott. How are you doing?
Oh, doing well. You know, in the first hour this morning, we had on Saf Safari from this Tiger King phenomenon on Netflix. Have you had a chance to see this?
Actually, no, I have not. Is it worth seeing?
Well, you know, I don't know. It's one of those things that has become so popular during this pandemic. I guess people have more time on their hands, but it's a fascinating story.
I guess it is, but I'm busy writing and reading and commenting about the events of the day, which I always do. It's my passion.
Yeah, well, I certainly understand that. In this time of the pandemic, Dr. Fineman, how do you think America is reacting?
Mixed message, because I think a lot of people get what the issue is. But we also have those people who seem to think that the pandemic doesn't cross state boundaries from South Carolina into Georgia, for instance. And I'm very happy to see Lindsey Graham, who usually, I think, acts crazy, actually making an issue of the Georgia government changing the whole pattern of how people can mix and how it could still affect the boundaries into South Carolina and elsewhere. And there are people who seem to think it's an issue of basic freedom, when I think the major freedom is to live above all. And to me, it's insane with these demonstrations going on in mostly red states, but not only red states.
Well, it's fascinating to watch. I think it's something we haven't been through in 102 years. And
nobody's alive who could tell us, or remembers anyway. If right. They're 110, they might. I don't think there's too many of those people around.
From somebody who deals a lot in media and social media and internet, how do you think this has changed how we've dealt with this virus?
I think it's promoted knowledge in one side, but also promoted conspiracy theories on the other side, as I now see people I thought were intelligent who are telling us Bill Gates is involved in a conspiracy and Dr. Anthony Fauci is involved in a conspiracy and somehow Obama is connected to it all, even though he had that committee, that commission that was out to help promote planning for this whole issue. And even George W. Bush in his time was doing that. And then, of course, Trump comes in and he gets rid of that committee. And now I have people telling me, well, Hillary would have done the same thing. And I says, no, she would not. She wouldn't have abandoned that commission like Donald Trump did. So this is his fault, primarily, that he was slow to react and that his reaction has been very, back and forth. It's totally unstable. His mental illness, which I think he has, is very clear, and it's really endangering the country, unfortunately.
But weren't there a lot of people, Dr. Fineman, who could have seen this coming, who didn't? We knew that things were going on in China back in December. We certainly knew in January. This was not the lead story on any media newscast. We did not have people talking about it. It was almost completely missed by everybody.
Yes, but not totally by MSNBC and CNN. But I agree they didn't do enough on it. But Joe Biden spoke up on it in January, not early, but mid-January and late January. But nobody paid any attention because he was competing for the nomination and people just were all paying attention to what Donald Trump said. And now we have at least three ministers, two white and one African-American, who said it was a hoax, the whole thing, and have died. And now a person living in your area in Marion or nearby Ohio, who said it was BS, and I won't say the word, and now he's passed away. So this is not a hoax, but there are people who still think it's all made up, and the 45,000 as of this morning who have died, and now it's 2,800 yesterday, and we're on the way to passing the Vietnam War total in about 10 days, and that took 12 years, so this has taken 2 months. I mean, it just amazes me. There's still people who think it's not real.
What percentage would you say think this is not real?
It seems like probably 25-30% from what I gather from polls, and most of them are Trump supporters who think everything he says is like from God. They think of him as almost like a Jim Jones type, and you know, who of course took people to their death in 1978 in Guyana. It's just unbelievable that people can still believe that he lies, and Washington Post has pointed out he's lied 18,000 times in office in about 1,200 days. Unbelievable. And people still believe everything he says and still believe that Barack Obama is from Kenya and still believe Hillary Clinton, the four people killed at Benghazi, is the worst crime imaginable when we have 45,000 people dead because of his mishandling of this whole issue.
It's interesting because, you know, Dr. Fineman, we are in an election year and certainly not a lot of talk about that right now because of coronavirus and this pandemic. But when you use terms like the president has a mental illness and that it's all his fault, do you think that's where the divisiveness comes in? That we don't speak all that nicely about people we disagree with?
Well, I have to admit that's true, but that goes back to 1994 when Newt Gingrich became, at the end of the year after the Republicans gained the House, the Speaker of the House, and declared war on truth. And really, not me alone, many other people have said that's when the beginning of the total, end of any kind of bipartisanship came, and it's been continuing ever since under both Democratic and Republican presidents. The opposition party is always out to get the throats of the other party, and it is bad, I agree. But Trump certainly has mined it like crazy and has been able to benefit from it, but to the detriment of us.
Do you think that in November, that if that tact is continued, because certainly it was happening back in 2016, that people are saying such horrible things about Donald Trump, and they were saying horrible things about Hillary Clinton too, but she's not the issue right now, that if people keep saying horrible things about Donald Trump, that is just going to make his supporters like him more, turn off the other side anymore, continue to turn off the other side, and it's going to really eliminate independence, because people are going to say, wow, why does it have to be that way?
It's hard to know what everybody's thinking, but I do think that his base is his base, but it's not enough to win another term. And I don't see any independence going for him. I really don't, with the economy in a shambles and this horrible pandemic, which he's refusing to promote testing, and he's constantly going back and forth. One day he sounds reasonable, the next day he sounds crazy. I would think that there are enough people who are upset and scared of what's going on that they will look for a change, and they don't expect perfection, but they want someone who comes across as having empathy, sympathy, compassion, and rational thought. And yes, Joe Biden is an old guy. Yes, he sometimes sounds a little silly in things he says. But I would argue Donald Trump sounds ridiculous most days of his presidency with things he says and puts on Twitter and also in his press conferences. So it's going to be a question of a lesser of evils to many. It's not going to be as if Joe Biden is the perfect choice. But certainly, I think this is an argument for people with experience in government, not a businessman who failed 6 times with bankruptcies and who never really had any government experience. Hopefully, we will never again allow a businessman without government experience to be in the White House.
You know, Dr. Fineman, obviously, it's apparent. You share your opinions about who you like and who you don't like, and there's nothing wrong with that. But can you understand why people like the president? He was elected.
He lost the popular vote by a bigger margin than anybody's ever lost and become president. So he did not win the people's vote. He won the Electoral College by small margins in Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania.
Which is how we elect the president.
Yes, unfortunately. That's how we got George W. Bush. George W. Bush looks so much better, though, now, I have to say.
But that being said, he was elected the way we elect presidents. Is there any way you can look at the people who support President Trump and understand it?
I think the fact that he's straightforward. He says what's on his mind. And a lot of people like to speak their views. Views are not always factual, though. And unfortunately, there is a good percentage of people, at least a third of the country, who, let's be honest, have elements of nativism and racism and misogyny. I'm sorry, it's true. Some of them also are anti-Semitic, and a lot of them don't like people who have education. They think that to be educated makes you somehow a Marxist or some kind of crazy thing like that. So there is an element of that. But like, for instance, senior citizens now, the majority may have backed them the last time, but now look what's happening. Senior citizens are dying at higher rates than any other group, and even now they've had reports from the Villages community in Central Florida, which is very senior citizen, very Trump-supporting. It is said that they're really disillusioned, at least the people they interviewed, I agree it's not everybody, that they think senior citizens by polls are not going to vote for him again, and neither are suburban women, and also educated, college-educated people, and also African-Americans and Hispanics, and also Asian-Americans, and the majority of Jews. And I do think his base is wilting, and he will not, I think, be able to bring about another victory unless there is voter suppression, which they're attempting by not allowing more mail-in ballots, when already a lot of people, including himself, Trump, vote by mail, and also by the fear of further collusion by Russia or other powers to try to manipulate the vote. So if they get people not to vote, look what happened in Wisconsin. They voted, and now seven people, at least they've shown, got six because they voted because Wisconsin would not allow that to be delayed, that election. So they have blood on their hands, the Republican Party of Wisconsin, if these people end up dying. And to me, those are ways it could happen. He could win by suppression, by collusion, or by not allowing more people to vote by mail, but I don't see how he has a winning coalition.
You know, Dr. Feinman, do you think this is one of the problems right now with the Democratic Party? That when you say a majority of President Trump's voters are undereducated, are racist, are misogynistic, doesn't that give the Democratic Party a little hoity-toity, nose up in the air, we're better than you type of attitude?
Well, you might think so, but I honestly think it's just factual that it is that way. We've seen interviews with these people like Trump, and you watch them on the videos on Facebook or elsewhere, and how can you not be shocked and stunned by it? I don't see how anybody could say, hey, this is normal behavior and that this is a sign of what our country should be like in the future. I think if that's the way the future is, we are doomed and our republic is gone and we will have a monarch in the next term if he wins. And I think we're all going to suffer for that because it's going to destroy what the Founding Fathers created in 1787 at the Constitutional Convention.
Well, isn't one of the problems, and I think this is an interesting conversation to have, isn't it interesting, though, Dr. Feinman, that we can say that people who have certain bends vote certain ways? If we want to talk about people's education level, I'm sure there are people who do not have a high education who vote democratically, and I'm sure there are people who have been racist who vote for the Democratic Party for whatever reason. So when we lay that all on a Donald Trump voter, I think the Donald Trump voter who's listening, who is not those things, who is not racist, who is not misogynistic, who does not have a lower education, says, here we go again. This is the labeling of me just because I like this guy.
Well, I guess that's true. There'll be people who will be, unfortunately, alienated by what I'm saying. I can't help that, but I do not think that a majority of the people, even with electoral votes, is going to vote for him again. I think Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania, Arizona, North Carolina, Florida, he doesn't need all of those, But I do think there's a good chance that the Democrats will win enough of those to make up for the loss last time. And even Texas is in play. And if Texas, which I agree probably won't go Democratic, but if it does, and there's a chance of it, then it doesn't even matter what the Midwest states do, because Texas has the second most electoral votes, and we'll have more in the future. So, of course it's going to alienate, but then there are those who claim that all Democrats are Marxists, and progressives and liberals, I think progressives and liberals are the same as Marxists, and they don't like people of an education, and they don't like women who speak up and are independent, etc. So, I mean, both sides have that, where there are going to be people who don't like what they say. So, of course I'm going to make some people unhappy, but I'm stating it as I think it is.
Well, I don't know that it's... everybody's entitled to their own opinion, just like it would be entitled for a Trump supporter to turn it off or to not want to listen to it. I just think if we're talking about the big picture and we're talking about the election, that I think sometimes large swaths are drawn over groups of people that I'm not sure should be. Just like in the case of Hillary Clinton, I'm sure there was some misogynistic reasons people did not vote for her.
I know that as a fact. The people I talk to on Facebook and people I know personally, they don't like her because she's an outspoken woman, and they claim she was more crooked than Donald Trump, which is hilarious.
Right.
That's not true.
But you're right. I think some people voted for her because she was a woman, but I don't think that was everybody. So, again, I think when we paint those large brushes, that becomes the problem.
Well, it may be a problem, but, again, people are entitled to their opinions, but as Daniel Patrick Moynihan, senator from New York years ago, said, not entitled to the facts. The facts are the facts. Opinions, anybody can express any opinion. It doesn't mean that it's a well-thought opinion.
Well, if we are talking about the president, just the comment you made earlier, and it's an interesting comment to make, when you say President Trump has a mental illness. Now, in life, people do have mental illnesses, and they are diagnosed with mental illnesses, and they go to doctors for mental illnesses, and there's even a stigma on mental illness.
Which is wrong. I agree. It's wrong.
Absolutely wrong. So to say that Donald Trump has a mental illness, wouldn't you say that's more, in your way, of a dig at him? He's not diagnosed with a mental illness.
Never gone to a psychiatrist, but many psychiatrists, I know it's not said to be professional, have published books that say that his behavior, his narcissistic behavior and other issues make him dangerous in the sense of nuclear war and in the case of trying to maybe grab absolute power by martial law, and this is what is concerning. It's not so much about his personal belief or his personal being with his family, it's the effect he has on all of us. That's what makes it more dangerous. And back in 1972, Tom Eagleton of Missouri was the running mate of George McGovern, and they discovered he had been to a psychiatrist, and he was forced out of the race because they said, oh my God, that indeed, if he ended up by some chance as vice president, became president, the country would be in danger. They thought that then, and yet here, a lot of people seem to just laugh it off like, oh, it doesn't matter if he talks crazy and if he talks in threatening ways. The martial law is not an issue or nuclear war, but I think it is very, very scary. If he wins re-election, he will be totally emboldened, and I think he'll be more dangerous than he is right now.
And I do think people are entitled to their own opinion. I just think when somebody uses the term mental illness as an adjective, as a describing word, for somebody who has not been diagnosed, that's a little bit of a shot at them. That's clearly, you're not using it as a positive thing.
Well, true, but then on the other hand, he's always attacking everybody else and using rude language and calling them all kinds of names, including lately John Kerry, and also Obama and Clinton and Joe Biden and World Health Organization and the FBI and the CIA and, everything else. I mean, so, look to him as an example that he does plenty of it. And what other presidents have acted this way? Nobody. They might not be liking their opponents, but they don't treat them in the same disdain that he does.
Well, and that very well could be true. I just know that we are in such a divisive nature in this country when it comes to politics that I have never seen it like this. And I remember the George W. Bush years, and I remember the Obama years. And I was on the air during those years. And to be honest with you, people said some horrible stuff about Obama, and people said some horrible stuff about George W. Bush. But it wasn't like this. Nobody.
It was like that in the 90s, though, with Gingrich against Bill Clinton in the late 90s.
I don't think. But I don't know if anybody would have, even in Bill Clinton's era, I don't know if anybody would have come on in Clinton's era or W. Bush or Obama in the last three presidencies. I don't think anybody would have ever come on and said the president had a mental illness. I don't think that would have happened.
Because none of those three did. That's the difference.
But they certainly had their picadillos.
Well, we all do, yes.
But people didn't open up by saying that. I think, you know, it's very interesting because I think Donald Trump brings out a lot of very strong feelings in a lot of people, much like Hillary Clinton did.
Yes, but I think his kind of feelings he brings out, I think in the long run, are more dangerous and damaging to our country and its future.
Right, but, you know, I think that people, the biggest thing people want is to, the biggest thing people need to do at this point is understand how the other person thinks. They don't have to agree with them. They don't have to justify how they believe. But I think in some way we've got to figure out in this country why the other person feels that way. That we don't have to be them. We're all different.
Of course.
But we've got to understand why they're doing that. And I think until the Democratic Party, which did lose last time, by the way we elect a president, the Electoral College, understands why the Trump voter thinks the way they do, instead of just calling names, that he possibly could be reelected.
Yes, he could. I wanted to mention those six of the last seven elections, the popular vote has gone to the Democrats, but of course they lost. The only time it did not go to them is 2004, with George W. Bush winning the popular vote over John Kerry. But otherwise, six of the last seven times the popular vote has gone that way. It's just unfortunate that two of those times, the Electoral College morass is what caused the election of the first term of George W. Bush and now of Donald Trump. Now, there's no question, and there's no easy answer, but I do think that there's more chance that Joe Biden will unite the country, not easily, than I think probably almost any other Democrat could have, because he's seen as moderate centrist, which I think he is, and I think there's more chance that he could unify, although I'm sure the Trump supporters will still bash him, and they're already calling him someone who has dementia, and there's others who say that actually Trump has signs of dementia by his behavior, which is much more threatening. But I mean, it's not as if the Trump supporters are going to leave Joe Biden alone or whoever is his female running mate, and I could just imagine when he picks his woman running mate, oh my God, the open season that will go on him, a misogyny against whoever it is, it's going to be massive. We know that. It's going to have to be a very strong woman who can tolerate that.
Well, and to be honest, here we are again. We're saying that Joe Biden now has a mental illness, and I don't know that he's diagnosed with a mental illness. So
I'm just saying that those who think he has dementia, people have told me that, you know, he does have quirks. He does have times when he acts a little silly. I don't think anything he's ever said or done shows him as a danger, but I've actually said that it may be, either one of them may not be able to make it through the next term because of their age and health conditions, who knows? And that's why who is the running mate is very important, and it's going to be a woman, whoever it is, against Mike Pence. And I think there, in my mind, there's a clear-cut difference that stands out.
Well, in the end, do you think that Trump might dump Pence? Because there has been a lot of conversation going on behind the scenes that if Joe Biden does pick a woman, which he says he's going to do, last I heard, that Trump would dump Pence for Nikki Haley.
I don't think that's going to happen because the evangelical right is not going to like that. They love Mike Pence because he speaks for God, they think. I'm not being sarcastic. It's the way they see it. I think it's going to be very hard. The evangelicals are one of the strongest parts of his base, and I'm not sure they're going to want a woman whose parents were born in India, and so therefore maybe not American, in quotes, enough, although she was born here. I'm not so sure. You know, it's possible. I tend to think Mike Pence, by being loyal to the fault, where he doesn't even show any emotion on his face, and doing what he can on this pandemic, and I give him more credit than certainly Trump, because he is doing some good things. I think he's going to still be on the ticket, but we'll see. You know, it could be very interesting. It'd be interesting to see a debate between whoever the woman is and Nikki Haley, but even against Mike Pence. But I think it would be very interesting to have a woman versus a woman. I agree.
What do we know about the Green Party and the Libertarian Party at this time, because they usually have access to most of the ballot in most states?
Well, they're going to be, I think, in a sense, a problem, because last time they gained about 5.5% of the vote between them, and I think that helped to affect the results. And I think Justin Amash, the Republican who gave up his party membership and became an independent in the House, is considering running as the candidate of the Libertarians, and I think he could win a few percent of the vote, but I think that would help, indirectly would help Biden, it would hurt Trump. I think it would hurt Trump if Justin Amash is on the ballot, and if a Green Party candidate is on the ballot, he or she could affect Biden, but it could, again, be an issue that helps to affect the result, as, for instance, Ralph Nader affected the result in Florida in 2000, and therefore threw the election officially, at least, to George W. Bush in Florida by 537 votes. So it is a problem, but we cannot ban third parties, but third parties create a problem, no question about it.
We thought that the Democratic Party not too long ago was headed toward the left big time, was headed toward the socialist movement. Bernie Sanders was going to be the guy. Elizabeth Warren was high, riding high when we came into the beginning of the year. And what do we end up in the end with? We end up with the oldest person who will ever run for president, a former vice president, a white male, Joe Biden, centrist Democrat.
Well, one thing you have to remember is that if Bernie Sanders had been nominated, he's 14 months older, so realize that.
But
Michael Bloomberg was about 9 months older, so he's actually the third, he's the youngest of the three old guys who were running.
Right, but they weren't nominated, he was.
Yes.
So that being said, how did we end up with that?
Because I don't think that it's shown by the primaries that most people in the Democratic Party want someone that far left, and I did not want someone that far left as Sanders. I think some of his ideas are good, but he is not really, I think, a person who could win a national election. People think he could have won in 16. I don't, can never be sure. I think Joe Biden, had he not had to back out of the race because of his son Beau's death, would have defeated Hillary and then would have beaten Trump in Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania, because he comes from that working class background. He, you know, from Scranton, Pennsylvania, he knows that kind of thing. And that's why I think he's going to win those states that Hillary lost by small margins, and also might win Florida, and might win also Georgia, and also North Carolina, and even Arizona. I think he's going to win by a substantial electoral vote, I actually think, at this point.
What part is coronavirus going to play into this? People cannot have rallies right now. People cannot go out and sign people up to vote. You can't go door to door. You can't get the troops ready. You can't even get the offices open.
Well, it's going to be more internet than ever. And by the way, I understand the Republican Party, led by the niece of Mitt Romney, is really going nuts. They claim they're going to have a national convention. They're inviting the people to go to that convention to get a lot of them to get the coronavirus and some of them to die. I cannot see how they can have a national convention in the way they usually do, or the Democrats. And I do think that, again, voter suppression is an issue, and also collusion by foreign nations that can affect, and also we can't let people vote by mail. I vote by mail, and I'm going to continue to vote by mail, and, you know, he votes by mail in Florida, our president. So to claim it's crooked and corrupt, no, it is not. And it's worked very well for veterans and for people overseas in the military and for senior citizens. And, you know, but it is a big problem. It's going to be mostly TV and internet. It's going to have to be that way, and if the Republicans hold a national convention, they might be, in their own sense, for their own delegates, committing suicide, but that's up to them.
Well, there won't be, possibly, could not be debates held in front of audiences. It's going to be interesting.
No, I don't think there'll be debates in front of audiences, but you can have debates without the audience. Unless he backs out of that, there's rumors that the president doesn't want to debate. I would hope he would, but if he doesn't, that's not going to help him. It's going to hurt him if he doesn't debate. And the same for the vice presidential candidates. So, but yeah, I agree, it will probably not be in front of people. That one debate between Bernie and Joe was without an audience, and it was fine. You know, it's nice to have an audience, but it's not essential. It's a different situation now. We have to look at the reality and do what we can within the circumstances that exist.
How much is the largely growing left socialist wing of the Democratic Party going to hurt Joe Biden in this election? That's the group that stayed home and didn't vote for Hillary. Will they do that again this time?
Well, Bernie has told them not to stay home, and he's working to cooperate with Joe. I know some people I had as students who said they would not vote for Joe, no matter what. And, you know, and they've told me, because they've known me all these years, you call yourself a progressive professor. How can you call yourself a progressive? And I say, because I'm a pragmatic progressive. I'm not a crazy progressive where you're going to lose the country. So, you know, if they're not going to vote for him, fine. I think most will, because they see what's going on. It's much more of the delicate, dangerous situation now than it was in 16. And I think if they don't, and they end up with a result that's, I think, certainly worse for them, it'll be their own fault, and they'll have to live with the consequences.
What happened, in your opinion, to the campaign of Bernie Sanders?
He burned out, because actually he did less well than he did in 16. And even in 16, most of the states he won were actually caucuses, which are much more extreme in both parties. Caucuses tend to bring out the more leftist Democrats and the more right-wing Republicans. So they're not representative of the major parts of the country. But this time he actually did far worse, you know, and he had a real losing streak there where, you know, in the beginning, yes, you know, it's true Joe didn't do well in the first few states. But boy, he took off after that, and even won Wisconsin with all the troubles there, 2-1. So I think that the country may like some of his ideas, and some of them will be adopted in part by Joe Biden and over time by the Democrats. But he was trying to do too much too soon, and I don't think that's going to work. But I think we have to have measured progress, is what I say. And I say we had measured progress in the New Deal of FDR, measured progress in the Great Society of LBJ, and then measured progress in a smaller way under Obama, like Obamacare. Not great, but better than having no health care for, you know, for tens of millions, and try to improve upon it. But the idea of Medicare for all overnight, no. Instead, now the proposal I gather that Joe has agreed to is Medicare for people 60 and over, not 65, and then eventually move down. And I think everything in gradual terms is what most people would accept, not the extreme ideas that Bernie had. Even the Green New Deal, you can't do it all in 10 years, but you can make progress in that regard. And in the case of Trump, he's been horrifying. My son works, my oldest son works for the, works for environmental group in Washington, D.C., and he's cut back on the national parks and the national forests and on so many other, you know, properties, and he's backed off on air quality in California, trying to fight California standards, and also on mining and timbering and everything else. It's just shocking. So that itself is an issue with the climate change and global warming, that yes, Joe is not Bernie, no, he's not maybe Elizabeth Warren, but he's certainly moving in the right direction. Well, he's trying to get rid of all the environmental laws, even those that were started by Richard Nixon when he declared the first Earth Day 50 years ago today. Richard Nixon is the one who started, along with people in Congress, where he promoted the EPA and the Earth Day, and it's 50 years ago today.
50-year anniversary of Earth Day. What do you make of that?
Well, I think it's a warning sign of what's going on, that we have to realize the Mother Earth is telling us, stop what you're doing, and look how the pollution levels have gone down and all over the world in this period of time because of less use of cars, gasoline, oil, and all that. Now, I know we're not going to solve that easily short term, but certainly to just ignore it and put our heads in the sand, as many Trump supporters do, and think it's not an issue or it's not real, I say there's an award for these kind of people. And I say jokingly, but people have said it elsewhere, the Darwin Award, and that's what it is. Because these are the same people who don't believe in evolution, they don't believe in science, and that is a disaster for the future of the planet.
Michael Bloomberg. At one point, Michael Bloomberg comes in late. Everybody thinks he's going to be the guy. He's spending all this money on television ads across the country. He gets in the debates, and he doesn't do anything. And he gets out, and he endorses Joe Biden, the person who he said was basically the reason he was getting in the race, because he did not think there was anybody up there who could beat Trump. What happened to Bloomberg?
Well, he spent $1 billion, and he should have spent $1 billion helping Americans rather than glorifying himself. He was an all right mayor of New York, but there were a lot of issues around him, and I think people realized that he was really in it for his own ego. And of course, you might say every politician is. Yes and no. I don't see it as every politician just ego. Of course, ego is part of it. But I think that, you know, that somehow to compare his background to Joe Biden's 44 years in government, 36 in the Senate as a leader, 8 as vice president, the most active vice president, maybe with the exception of Walter Mondale, maybe being more so under Jimmy Carter. And I mean, to compare anybody, including Sanders and everybody else, to me from the beginning, although he's a little old, but, you know, that's unfortunately the case. I see him only as a one-term president, but that's fine. There's no reason that everybody has two terms. I think Joe Biden is the right person for the time.
You know, that Bloomberg, he had a lot of money, and he was
from New York.
He had a lot of dough, but the problem was he should never have went after people and their sodas. I said this a long time ago.
Yes.
You cannot say that people cannot have big sodas if they want them.
Well, he's trying to prevent diabetes, I guess is what he would say.
Oh, see, that's just a big mistake, because people don't like when you tell them what to do.
Yes, well, I thought that was a bit hilarious anyway, because the fact is, if you couldn't get a big soda, you could buy two smaller ones.
But even in old liberal New York, they tore his head off there.
Yes.
And he never got it done.
Yes.
You know, that will haunt you. You can't make mistakes like that.
That's true. No. Well, you know, as I said, he wasn't a bad mayor in some ways, but he also fixed it so he could run for a third term, which is the kind of thing Trump wishes he could do. But that was wrong that the city government allowed him to run for a third term when the charter said only two terms. And then after he left, they changed it back to two terms, which is interesting. So, yeah, I think he was involved in a power grab. Of course, it wasn't the presidency, but I thought that was really arrogant. And I think he's a very arrogant man, actually, you know, more than typical.
Do you think the Democratic Party, let's see, what's the right word here? Do you think that they plotted against Bernie a little bit here, and that will factor in? It was very interesting when everybody started to drop out after Super Tuesday, they almost immediately all endorsed Joe Biden on television and in a big way.
Well, but the thing is, the right handwriting was on the wall already. We knew that the odds of Joe of Bernie being able to win, and he didn't win in Wisconsin. I think they just realized that it's time to unify, because in 16 they didn't unify until June, and that did not help. And I'm glad that Bernie finally came along also sooner than he did in 16. But again, I think the Democratic Party doesn't want to be associated with the word socialism. Not that socialism is communism. It isn't, for anybody who knows. But the point is, it is seen as such, even though actually a lot of the New Deal and Great Society of FDR and LBJ were socialist-like, like Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid and labor laws and all that. But somehow the word socialist, people have been taught that somehow it's an evil word, and they don't want to be associated with that. And I think in a practical sense, that makes sense.
Take me through the rest of this year. How do you think this presidential election will play out?
Well, again, it's subject to change because it's still early. I think Joe Biden will win the Electoral College actually quite easily. I think he will not lose any of the states that Hillary lost. I think he's going to win Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania, which will put him over the top. And I also think Florida was close last time. I think he's going to win Florida. Not so sure about North Carolina or Georgia or Arizona, but Arizona, I think, is very likely. Texas, I don't really think. I think he'll win more than 300 electoral votes. I haven't figured out the exact totals yet, and it'll depend on how the campaign goes. But I think he will win, and I think there are enough Republicans now in endangered seats, because most of the seats, two-thirds of them, are Republican, that I think they're running scared, and I think the Democrats will win at least enough to be a majority, hopefully more. And the House, apparently by every poll, is going to be stronger Democratic. My God, if they had not won the House in 18, can you imagine how things would have been now if the Republicans still controlled the House? So really, the Democrats are on the upswing, and every indication, I would think, despite some people's fears, is that the Democrats will win both houses. I'm not sure of the percentage they'll win, but they'll control both houses, and he will be president, and maybe will not serve a whole term, but I don't know if Trump will either, with his health issues, his weight, and all that. But that's why the vice president really matters, and the various women talked about as possible choices.
What about the stimulus checks? What about the fact that the curve seems to be a little lower than what we thought? At one point, we thought it was going to be 240,000 deaths in America. Maybe it will be, but it looks a little less now. It looks a little less here in Ohio, which usually is a swing state. If we do better with this coronavirus, if people get their stimulus checks, and President Trump is president, and being this close to the election, wouldn't you say that would have to help him in November?
Well, the $1,200, first of all, not everybody's getting it. But I think if that's all that comes with this mess of so many people out of work, it's not going to be enough. It's nice. I mean, certainly it's nice. But it's not because, it's not a gift from him because he claims he has his name on it. That has nothing to do with him. It's the Congress doing it. He has no right to claim that he's giving us money. He's giving us our money, after you think about it. He's not giving us his money. And he hasn't even allowed his hotels to even house, you know, healthcare workers while other hotels are. That's not very nice. Why not? You know, while they're doing this great job they're doing. But I think the indications are that there will be a low, but back in the fall, it'll start up again. So it all depends on timing on the second round. It might be worse than the first round, like in 1918, 1919. Hopefully not, but of course, it's hard to know what will be the future. But I think as he continues to hold his press conferences, it acts more weird every day. Some days nice and other days off the wall in many people's minds. I don't think it's going to help him. I think a lot of people wish he would stop being on TV every day.
If you had to guess right now, who is going to be Joe Biden's vice presidential pick?
All right. There's so many different choices. I think that it is not going to be Elizabeth Warren, and I don't think it should be for one good reason. She's in her 70s. He's in his 70s. That'd be the oldest ticket ever. I don't think that's a good idea. And also, her state is Republican governor. If she left, then he could pick the replacement. Same thing with Minnesota, although Minnesota, Klobuchar, is a Democratic state, but it could be close. I don't know what it was. I would think either Amy Klobuchar or Kamala Harris. And the advantage of Kamala Harris is that she's from a state that is certain that her replacement would be a Democrat. It's a very strong blue state since the 1990s because of the nativism laws they passed there that changed the state from Republican to Democratic. So I'd have to say the two finalists, even though there are others mentioned, like Governor Whitmer, but she's in the middle of a pandemic. I don't know if it's smart she has to do this while she's dealing with that. I think being a governor is not the best position to be in for running for VP now. I think being a senator, because I don't have to make decisions like a governor. So I think either Harris or Klobuchar. If I had a bet now, I'd say Harris is the favorite, but Klobuchar is the backup.
Now, do we know how Harris feels about big sodas?
I don't think I think she would laugh. I love her laugh, by the way. I think she would laugh. She probably would say, that's not an issue for me, but I don't know. I don't know what she would say. I don't know what Klobuchar would say either about that, but I think it would be one or the other. And, of course, the story about Harris, I know not everybody likes her. I know your co-host Adam Lepp doesn't like her. But the fact is, she's often been called the female Barack Obama because she's African-American, but also her mother's from India, and she's a woman, so she's been called the female Barack Obama, and she's got an appealing personality, a nice laugh, nice appearance, and yes, she's a little more to the left of Joe Biden a bit, but she's not as far left as, I think, Warren or Sanders. I would put the betting money on her, but Klobuchar is a backup.
Just remember, those big sodas will get you every time, Dr. Feynman. Remember, they will. Dr. Feynman, it's always a pleasure to chat with you. I do want to remind everybody that you are on with Adam Lepp most every Monday, mid-morning coffee break with Adam Lepp, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. It's been a while since you've been on with us, but it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much, Dr. Feynman.
I had a great time. Thank you so much.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
For this day, this is Scott Spears heading for the dugout. Charlie Evers up next, Glenn Coble, and myself sitting in for Charlie.
And on Wednesday at 3:15, we take pertinent issues of the day going on and look at them in a biblical perspective. So we'd love to have you listen and just, you know, call in, just get a conversation going. Great time on the show.
Pastor Steve Whitaker is the pastor at Community Christian Fellowship